Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship podcast with 14 days until Cincinnati, 19 days until the Caesars Southern Indiana, what we call our Louisville program and the KFFSC, to go. We have podcasts to talk to, a lot of good things to go over tonight, an update on where we stand with the league registrations. If you haven't picked your teams, it's getting a little tight. We'd like you to come in and pick your team tonight. We're going to talk to you about ways that you can win the KFFFC. So no better person to have with us tonight than Justin McCord, 2011 champion and the trophy husband, Mr. Robbie Fetcher, a longtime and successful KFFFC player waiting for his first championship. Robbie, it's going to be this year.
Oh, it's definitely going to be this year.
You're off to a good start. You played in the slow drafts. How are the slow drafts progressing?
Good. I'm in one right now. I think we're going into the fifth round. Started yesterday morning, so very excited about that. But also, I was hoping that maybe in honor of Aaron Rodgers, we could go on a trip tonight. Would you be our shaman, Farrell, for me and Justin to have a nice trip and go into the psychedelic world and see if we can find out something about fantasy football?
If you two were to go into a psychedelic world, I'm afraid that each of you, and especially you, Fetch, might never get back. It's not necessarily a place that I can see you. Once you enter, I don't think you're coming back. So we're going to keep you a distance.
I think Aaron Rodgers hyping up receivers every preseason makes a lot more sense now that I know about the drug use.
I don't know necessarily if we can call it drug use. And then I have been ignoring everything he's had to say, except what he's had to say about Alan Lazard. And you guys know I've been doing podcasts with Balky, the Pros versus Joes, FFPC. And, nobody knows better what Aaron Rodgers is talking about than Balky. As a matter of fact, that's where he got that beard. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been on a little psychedelic.
What about Romeo Dubs, though? Isn't that the new flavor of the week that we're talking about?
He's not a flavor of the week, Fetch. When we were in the Super Bowl drafts, Super Sunday weekend, the Sweet 16s, Romeo Dubs was a guy that I was throwing around, and he ended up finally being drafted in the 19th and 20th round. And we did not know his destination was Green Bay, and it looks like one of the best places that he could have landed. And he is showing what anyone who watched Mountain West football saw, is that he was very, very successful in college. He's taking that right in next to the pro game. But I'll tell you something interesting, Fitz. When we watched him out there, he looked like a big physical wide receiver in the Mountain West. He doesn't look like that in the NFL. Now he's lining up with the NFL guys, and I say, what's different about Dubs? Yeah, well, okay, he's no longer playing against Mountain West athletes. Guys, let's talk quickly. Let's get a little housekeeping done. There's still openings in Cincinnati at 6:30. Fetch was talking at the 6:30 p.m. draft. There's still three spots available. We have spots available throughout the weekend. We did some adjusting of the leagues today, a few time spots. We've got added, Justin, you'll enjoy the fact that we added the Rashad Harris division to the KFFSC in honoring an old University of Louisville linebacker from 20 years ago. But, we've still got room for you. If you have been a little slow to the trigger getting your reservations and selections made, or if you want to expand, Justin, you've informed me, and if I look at your roster, anyone can see that you've expanded the drafts more this year than ever before. What brings you to so many divisions, so many choices?
I just keep hearing from Fetch that this is the year, and I'm just doing everything I can to make that not happen.
Fetch, it appears that not only FBI is on to you and Jim Cole. Now the animus that you create throughout the KFFSC is amazing.
I have one supporter, one J.R. Fenton.
Fenton believes in you, Fetch. Yes. Fenton is.
It's been 10 years, and I want to win another one.
Damn straight. Well,
you know Fetch doesn't know what it's like to win the championship and then have to wait a decade to win another. I mean, it's hard. No one knows what that's like.
Well, but Fetch, last year, correct me if I'm wrong, but we went in the last weekend, you had two teams in the top 10, right?
Not in top 10. But Who's doing what?
Top 100.
Well, I'm sorry. Top 300. I'm very confused now because I thought we were talking about this season.
We are talking about this season. But Fetch, you know, Fetch is always in the hunt is what I'm trying to put out there. What do you guys want to talk about tonight?
We talk about how Cleveland is no longer in the hunt.
Yeah,
if
well.
If you get the
point. He's comic genius there.
Yeah, that's
Kareem, he got a little off schedule in complaining about his contract. You're supposed to do that before you report to camp. Mm-hmm. You lose a little leverage once the camp starts. It's odd in Cleveland, is it not? Hey, guys, I want to tell you something. FFPC, Football Guys Championship, I took a team, and I wanted to see if I could accomplish it. I drafted out of the number 8 position. Mm-hmm. I went through the first 11 rounds, only AFC West. It got interrupted in the 12th round when I think I went James Robinson in the 12th.
Did you have
round.
A filter on in your queue that you didn't know about?
No, was... only AFC West. It was intentional, and I didn't really reach anywhere, and I very much liked the team. Everybody says the games are going to be shootouts, so why not? So I decided that that's what I would do. Justin Herbert is my quarterback, so I'm pretty excited about this team. Let's talk about the AFC West tonight. Fetch, we're going to have some great analysis of players. You just can't say that you like guys. You're going to have to tell us why. And let's start with one of my least favorite teams, the Las Vegas Raiders of the AFC West. Now, Fetch, where are the values on the Raiders? You just throw out the position, and let's see if we all agree.
I think the biggest value right now that we're seeing is Derek Carr. Because he has all these weapons, he's going to take this progression he's made over the years. I think he's really going to be able to put it now, having that number one guy with Devontae Adams.
He sounds comfortable. He sounds ready. Of course, he always sounds that, but he looks the part a little more this year. Justin, you agree with Fetch, realizing that Carr was in the top 5 in passing yardage last year, but only in the low 20s in touchdown passes?
Well, yeah, no, Carr.
Oh, Brad Petri calling in. Hey, Brad Petri, you're calling in as a guest on our podcast here, but no one can hear you. And all is good. We'll call you back. Brad Petri, everyone, checking in. Probably to add another team. Justin, Carr, and touchdowns versus yards.
Yeah, and I like what Fetch is saying about when there's so many different weapons, you take the quarterback, you get all of them. Derek Carr scored really well last year for the Raiders, fantasy-wise. I don't know that we'll necessarily see that again this year from a Josh McDaniels offense. I think the value is still Hunter Renfrow. With what McDaniels has done with slot receivers, and it's a PPR league, and you can still get Renfrow in the 5th, 6th, 7th round.
Depending. Really?
Yes. I think that's still the value to be had. And if we can get a little more clarity on this backfield.
Okay, well, let's stop.
We
let's
can
stop
find
at Renfrow.
Pass catching back that will provide value.
Let's stop at Renfrow right there. Renfrow, 100-plus catches. Upon losing Ruggs last year, Renfrow moved from the slot to the outside receiver and ended up splitting time about 50-50 in those situations. So when you take a look at Renfrow, you assume that he'll be playing mostly from the slot this year. Mm-hmm. Fetch, you agree with Justin that he's able to hold on to 100 catches or not?
I think he'll hold on to 100 catches. I worry a little bit about his red zone, how good he was
9
last
touchdowns
year.
Yes, last
that's
year.
A lot for him. I think we'll see more Waller again and Devontae in the red zone, along with Jacobs. Josh McDaniels has done a lot with running backs as far as their roles, and Jacobs, I think, will become first and second down guy and goal line guy.
Well, that's a good amount of work there. And Josh Jacobs also, I'll remind you, caught 54 passes last year. Given the opportunity, he'll catch some passes. Jacobs, in the Football Guys drafts that I've been in, has dropped like a rock. Is the same thing happening in Kentucky?
It will be, because everyone's going to talk about his usage in the preseason
game. Well,
what does that mean?
What does his usage in the preseason game mean to you?
We're so accustomed to our starters being held out of these very early preseason games. And to see Josh Jacobs get so much work, it goes against that typical thought process.
I bet you agree.
My concern is more with the Josh McDaniels. We've had the problem with Bill Belichick running backs for so long. None of them get all the work.
That's a fantasy football problem, but not a football problem.
But we're talking fantasy football.
Well, yeah, but I'm just trying to, you know, what the problem is with Josh McDaniels. It is that you don't get a clarity. You don't get a bell cow running back. Now, you just said he's going to get the first and second down in the goal line. Isn't that enough for you?
It is enough where he's going now. Yes, okay. I would take him there. But
and
again,
where is
not...
he going? Because in the FFPC, he's dropping to 6.
Fifth round, I would
he's
say.
He's going fifth round?
Yeah, that's about right.
But... Well, okay, now here's what I want you to understand from my take on this. We've got a whole new system of preseason games. Of course, the Raiders get 4. But everybody else gets 3. Jacksonville gets 4 because they get the extra game. So everybody else gets 3 games. One of the things that you want to do, we covered this with Balky the other night, you want to get your running backs hit a little bit. You want to get them tackled. You want to get a situation where they can work on their running balance, where they can get used to being hit. And that's what I think we're seeing happening here. In these early games, I think you're going to see that across the league. You don't want a running back to make his first hit on September 11th or Thursday night prior to that. You want to get out and get in the mix. And they did a good job of getting everyone involved. How did you guys think the rookie looked?
I thought he looked fine. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
He rushed for more yards, caught more passes. I thought he looked ready to play. And if Fetch is correct on Jacob's role, then we're going to get a lot of white as well.
Well, I'm also curious how Kenyon Drake's going to be folded in as he gets healthy. And Josh McDaniels, these New England coaches seem to like to bring in guys that were with them in New England. Like brought
Bolden.
In Stidham. Yeah, and Bolden's on the roster. Mm-hmm. And while I have not seen Bolden drafted anywhere and don't expect to, that's obviously going to be weighing in the back of my mind every time I'm thinking about drafting a Las Vegas Raiders running back.
Jacob Johnson, Las Vegas Raiders fullback, never carried the ball last year in New England, one of the better blocking backs. When you talk about getting down around that goal line, if it's Johnson and Jacobs, watch out. Well, I really like that.
Is it your favorite New England Patriot one, Matthew Slater?
Yes, in his 15th year.
Is that maybe Bolden's role to be the special teams guy?
Oh, yeah.
In the Raiders? And I mean,
Bolden doesn't really have a role and certainly not any influence as fantasy football, but Justin's right. You're waiting for those precious touches out of the Raider backfield, and you say, "Oh, Bolden, what's he doing out there?" Mm-hmm. You know, he'll get his 2-3-4 carries, and you'll say,
"Could there be a release of Rex Burkhead and a refinding there?" There's a lot of
Rex had a fantasy game where he scored 22 points last year. So okay, the guy we haven't talked about is Waller. And when you guys are ranking tight ends, start at 1 and end at 5, where does Waller fall?
I mean, it's either going to be 4 or 5, right?
Not for me, but
no?
could be for you.
He's 4.
Who are you putting in front of him? You're putting Kelsey. You're putting Pitts in front of him.
Of course. Putting Andrews.
You're putting Andrews, okay.
Yeah, and that's where I go, okay, I like Waller over Kittle. That's my personal
choice.
Okay,
fair enough.
But I wouldn't fault anybody from drafting Kittle.
Bench.
Waller is my 4th. Now, Kittle's not even in my top 5. Right. Schultz has jumped up into 5 for me. Mm. But I think Waller, he's solid. He's going to get his stuff. But with Devontae there, with Hunter Renfro there, there's much more sharing going on. So I don't think – I mean, Mark Andrews is the number 1. Then Travis Kelce is the number 1
pass
catcher.
Let's go back and talk about Carr then. All those yards. I don't see him increasing in that yardage that much. They were playing from behind a lot last year. A lot of dump-off pass, 4,800 yards. Let's say he gets 5,000 yards. Last year he had 23 passing touchdowns. What does he get to this year?
I'd say 30.
Justin?
I don't know.
Kirk Cousins had 35. I say he flirts with 40. I say he flirts with 40, Fetch, and that's going to be a big, big difference. That's where your touchdowns to Adams goes. That's where Renfro stays close to what he has, and that's where Waller improves. I say he gets close to 40.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
That's one more a game, Fetch. That's one more a game.
A touchdown is such a – and I don't mean this in a bad way. It's such a fluke statistic in fantasy
not
football.
Not really.
Because of, no, it is. It, not so much for quarterbacks. It's only worth 4 points.
Yeah, but it's not a fluke statistic.
But really? Well, no, but as far as regression goes and the effect a penalty can have on a play, they affect touchdowns disproportionately.
Okay. Right?
So, and because they're worth more than receptions, of course, and yardage, you know, those sort of things where you look at a player's efficiency in the red zone or something like that, and it just, for whatever reason, it doesn't match up to where they are in other types of the field. Either they got unlucky or coaching decisions. I'm real hesitant often about predicting touchdowns.
You've lost me here.
Okay.
But they're going to score more touchdowns this year than they did last. The team is designed to do that. The team is designed to play a little better defense. I think they come through the air because the rushing game produced touchdowns last year, and I think you've got a group to get it done. And I think it's 4,800 yards, and the team broke down in the red zone. There's where the coaching difference.
Well, and that's what happens is you watch these games, and the offense gets into a red zone and just completely transforms into something else.
That's why our kicker last year, Carlson, the favorite of all fantasies, was so fantastic. Not only did he kick the long field goal, but they broke down in the red zone, and he got the easy three-pointer. So I'm going to call Carr flirting with 40 passing touchdowns and flirting with zero rushing touchdowns. Let's go somewhere where they do have some rushing touchdowns at the quarterback position. Talk about Fetch's favorite, Kansas City Chiefs. Fetch, Jesse Bumstead sent us some draft boards from the Super Bowl drafts. And I believe Justin McCord, I'm not certain, I believe Justin McCord is one of the teams that picked up Marquez Valdes-Scantling in the 17th round. Somebody did.
I did.
Justin. And, you know, it's fun to look back and see all the guys who were prescient enough to make strong, strong choices and that have benefited a little bit by luck. I think you're going to need it in that one, Justin, because I think you drafted Odell Beckham in the 6th round of that one. But needless to say,
how dare you invite me to a Super Bowl party?
Yeah.
In an amazing room with amazing food and beverages, like our own private bartender, and then have the audacity to criticize my inebriated choices.
I don't think it was a bad choice at the time, and I was very proud of you for making it.
And of course, that was before he tore his ACL.
Yes, it was three or 4 hours.
He was going to be MVP of the Super Bowl before that injury.
Yeah, he was. And you know what? This November, you might be glad. Hang on to him. You might be glad that you have him. But look, Fetch is here. It's Kansas City Chiefs. We got to go to him first. Travis Kelce, Fetch, in the FFPC, remains a mid-first round pick. 6, 7, 8, Kelce is gone. Do you see any slowdown in Travis Kelce, or do you think this is the year that he continues to add points for fantasy drafters just like he always has?
No slowdown. Travis Kelce has been one of the most consistent fantasy players we've had over the last 5 years. He's almost always number one tight end or number two.
Okay. So if the Raiders backfield gives you pause, what does the backfield in Kansas City do to you? And who is the guy that you like best pairing him up with his average draft position?
I like Ronald Jones.
Yeah, Ronald Jones in the KFFSC is what, a 9th rounder? 10th rounder?
10th round.
That's a steal.
I think
what do
so.
You like about Ronald Jones here that you necessarily didn't like about him in Tampa?
In Tampa, he was good when he got his chances. He had a fumbling problem.
Mm-hmm.
You also brought in Leonard Fournette, who's a generational talent. I mean, mm-hmm.
See the skill set, and you know, if he does put the ball on the ground, Andy Reid will be a little more tolerant, a little more supportive, putting back out there.
I don't think he'll carry the ball as much. I think it'll be more of a well-rounded game. They'll find
you like him as a fantasy player because he's giving moral support to the other players. He'll carry the ball very much.
Well, running the ball is where he had trouble in between the tackles. Not as far as being productive, but that's where his fumbling.
Running the ball is where he has the problem. Listen, the position is running back. So let's try again.
He's going to get the ball on the perimeter. They're going to find interesting. Andy Reid does not play your conventional offense where he's pounding the rock inside the tackles.
I don't think anybody plays conventional offense anymore. Can you find one? CEH, Justin. What do you think?
look, we've seen this story play out two different ways before in Kansas City. It wasn't that long ago, Farrell, where we were sitting at the FFPC NFL Thursday opening game watch party and watched rookie Kareem Hunt tear apart a good Patriots defense and leap from a middle-of-round draft pick to first overall, fourth overall. Just amazing. We have also seen drafters watch preseason games and get so excited about Darwin Thompson that he also leapt, you know, 10 rounds in ADP.
Well,
now, see, look, how many running backs in the NFL have we seen get drafted by a team, not perform well, and then go on to have productive fantasy careers in other teams?
So you're making the case for Jones. You're with Jones.
No, I'm not with Jones.
Who are you with?
It doesn't happen. I'm not with anybody at the moment.
You're not with anybody in the spectrum.
Look, if I can take CEH seventh,
yeah, I think you
that
can.
Would be. Nah, he's going mostly sixth. But now with the rookie Isaiah Pacheco, is that how you pronounce
Pacheco,
it? Pacheco. Look, he's shooting up boards. He was undrafted. Now he's going as high as 11th. I think if he makes one play,
which is crazy because I believe he's a kick returner,
he's going to go up even higher.
And where is Jerick McKinnon going?
He's also going very late. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 15th or
later. You, who I have in all of your years of fantasy football, you have always been, when you're presented with a group like this, you've taken advantage of the least expensive. Are you going to go out and work with McKinnon again?
No, if McKinnon is still available that late in the draft, there's absolutely no reason not to draft him.
All right, out of these receivers, Justin, which one do you like the best?
Well, I like Smith-Schuster the best. I don't know that I like him fifth round the best because as talented as Patrick Mahomes is, we're also not that far along, far from the Kansas City season in which a wide receiver scored, what, one touchdown or maybe not any touchdowns one year.
You're not flagging that with the New England.
No.
That's back with Alex Smith, though.
Yeah, right? But it was I'm just saying I've been there.
You know, I appreciate history, but we don't need to go back. We don't need to go back when they didn't put enough air in the ball.
Look, there was a lot of – it wasn't New England. It was Kansas City.
And, you know, we don't want to do that. Hey, so Schuster is the number one pass catcher, volume of catches in this offense. Do you guys agree?
No, it's Kelsey. But as
far as the receivers, we're talking about receivers.
Yes, okay. I agree.
So yardage, do we see that a push between, because of the volume to Schuster, Smith-Schuster, do we see then as a push on Valdes-Scantling?
No.
Yardage. Do we see, how many, do you see 50 catches and an 18 yards per catch average for Valdes-Scantling? Can you get 800-900 yards out of that? How are they going to use that player then? He's supposed to be a deep threat.
I think he's going to be like Sammy Watkins was. You might get a couple of big plays and big games out of him. But, you know, Mecole Hardman is still on that team.
That's the guy we got to talk about.
And what Andy Reid is known to move players into different positions where they'll be successful.
Fetch wants to talk about Hardman.
Hardman has – they've given him options the last couple of years. They've had a set package for him.
Right.
Hadn't always performed, but he's shown that speed that Andy Reid loves.
Yeah.
It's going to expand this year.
Maybe, so Scantling is basically a support player amongst those. Okay. Very interesting. Okay. Yeah, because in drafts, I've been seeing Scantling off the board many, many year rounds before Hardman. Am I right? Are you guys seeing that in Kentucky?
I'd say they're closer
together. I'm seeing it like four rounds.
But I agree that I prefer Hardman at this point for the cost over Scantling.
Then the quarterback. Is he still your number one guy, or are you going to go to Buffalo and choose that quarterback first?
Josh Allen's the number one quarterback.
All right. Patrick Mahomes, number two?
He is for me still, yes.
All right.
I think he's dropping a ton in KFFC. He's dropping into the fourth or fifth spot some now.
Well, you know, we're notorious in the KFFC of waiting on the quarterback.
Not fourth or fifth round. I'm talking about fourth or fifth quarterback taken.
You're talking about Mahomes?
Yes.
So you're talking about Herbert moving in front of him, Lamar Jackson because of the localism moving in front of him, and who would be the fourth one that would push him down to five?
It's
a mixed bag.
Mixture sometimes.
Somebody's taking Baker Mayfield is what you're saying.
Nobody's taking Baker. I said four or five. So, I mean, it's.
I remember when I ever loved Doc Hakey, he was taking Baker Mayfield as number one quarterback in six or seven. Right? But that, we won't break. Well,
you just did.
Yeah, I just did. Okay. Look, let's take a quick break here. Let's get back. We want to talk about one of those quarterbacks that could be going in front of Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert of the LA Chargers. Well, continuing with our review of the AFC West and what you should be doing with a number of explosive players with high upside in a division that will beat each other to death throughout the season, but do it with also scoring a lot of points, which is what in fantasy ball is what we like. Now, we go to a team last year, poor clock management, one of Fetch's pet peeves and poor understanding of what the opposition was going to do, kept the Los Angeles Chargers out of the playoffs, Fetch. And the team doesn't change a lot this year from the personnel they had last year. Installed in the first round of most drafts I've participated in is one Austin Eckler. He has the most interesting challenge to his participation on the field that he's had in many years with the rookie running back Isaiah Spiller. Isaiah Spiller, a player who can score the ball from anywhere on the field, despite a pedestrian 40 time at this year's combine. What do you think about Eckler? Is he still a first-round candidate for you if you fall into the middle 6, 7, 8 draft picks? Your thoughts on the number 30 running back for the Chargers?
First of all, it's called analytics. That's the new term.
That's not a new term. It's been around a long time.
Well, it's been around a lot. Football, it's really, really taken on as far as the two-point conversion. That's where you don't like him.
What the hell is he talking about? Ask him about Eckler. What's he doing over there?
Well, you introduced the Rams or the Chargers.
I wonder what the weather is.
And it has to do with analytics. And this guy loves to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, his numbers, he's paralysis by analysis is what you're
talking Austin Eckler. Okay. I'm not allowed to say he's a good player.
You can't say he's a good player, Fetch.
I think he's going a little too high. I would love him at the end of the first round of pair when that's 12-13. But you're not going to get him in Kentucky. He's been so productive the last three or four years. I think Spiller is a real, real danger to him. We come back from your boy Joshua Kelly. Now Justin Jackson is gone and moved on to Detroit. This is a guy that has his skill set more wiggle to him, like Austin does. So I think he will take a little of the workload.
It's a workload, Fetch.
You gave me one too many beers. The bar is open.
Tell Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Williamson, the bar is open tonight.
But I think the passing game is where it is. It's at here. I want to talk about Mike Williams.
But right now we're talking about Austin Eckler. So when it comes to passing, whatever happens with Austin Eckler around the goal line, you say that there's going to be enough receptions for Austin Eckler to support a first-round draft pick, but you'd like him in Kentucky 10, 11, 12.
Correct.
And if you are at the end and he somehow falls to you, you're going to be taking him. So we don't expect Eckler to have a lot of positions on Fetch teams this year.
Correct.
Very good. Let's go ahead and talk about the quarterback, Justin. I have always been impressed with this player. He quickly came into the league, and Justin Herbert made a place for himself, developed a rapport with his wide receivers, and this unit has stayed basically together since his arrival in the league. What if Herbert ascends like he has in the past couple years, we're looking perhaps at the number one fantasy quarterback this season.
Yeah, I don't know how much better he can get outside of some play calling, clock management issues. The only change he really had in his weapons this year was the addition of Gerald Everett, who had a decent year, good year.
47 catches at Seattle, quiet 47 catches.
Well, a career best for
him. Yeah.
So that's going to help out.
Okay, so Herbert, you just say another good year. It's an easy pick. Justin, Fetch says he's only taking Eckler at the end of the first round. Where are you taking?
I'm kind of with Fetch on this, but mostly because of the KFFSC roster lineup and what you have to have. So you can play a, you know, let's get around to, you're going to take Eckler or Cup. You're going to take Cup. You're going to take Jefferson, Justin Jefferson or Eckler. You're going to take Jefferson. Jamar Chase or Eckler. Mm-hmm. Probably going to take Chase.
These receivers are pushing him down.
They're pushing him. Now, as you get to that middle of the first round, and this is going to change very people, but, you know, are you going to take Eckler or are you going to take Dalvin Cook, who should see more passes this year? Mm-hmm. You know, some people are still very high on Derrick Henry. I'll probably take Eckler above Henry, but I know there's a lot of people who would absolutely scoff at that, take Henry above Eckler. Mm-hmm. So I can see what Fetch is saying about, well, Eckler's more for me when you get down to the end of the first round. But now you're competing with Eckler or Swift. Eckler or Saquon Barkley.
Maybe you get lucky and get them both.
You know, yeah, I don't know that I would necessarily pull that trigger on Eckler where he's going now. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to blame anybody for doing it. But, you know, in my last slow draft, which concluded like about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, Spiller went in the 10th round.
That's high.
I expect to see him maybe move up a little bit if he starts.
Once preseason gets here and once if they play the backs like the Raiders play the back, Spiller will get a chance to show.
But it's a very steep discount to get into this backfield.
You don't see how Justin Herbert can get any better. I bet Fetch does, because there's nobody that Fetch loves at wide receiver in the Chargers lineup as much as he does Mike Williams. Mike Williams, Fetch, middle of the third round here or a little earlier?
I just took him in the third round, 11th pick in our slow draft.
It's I would say that's a steal.
No, I was very happy that he was there, because you're right. He's going middle of the third round most of the time. He finally kind of had that breakout year last year, and I think he's the one that is ascending. Keenan Allen's going to keep those numbers, one of the most consistent guys, one of the most safest picks in the early third, late second. So you like Keenan Allen, but Mike Williams has got your chance to be that explosive player and can have, especially come fantasy football division and playoff time, he can have that big
he
game.
He seems to be that guy. Yeah. And, you know, Keenan Allen is that steady Eddie. That's that 100 catches, but 6 touchdowns, you know, and that's what – and it could be more, but that's what it was last year. You know, 100 catches, 6 touchdowns. I began to say, well, you know, you mentioned that you did not like Juju Smith-Schuster in the 5th round, but we're looking 90 catches, 6 touchdowns there. Keenan Allen's going what, early third?
Early third.
Yeah. And that's, you know, did you see him improving on those numbers? I don't see how he improves on 100 catches. Justin's already taught us that touchdowns are the sneaky statistic of all fantasy football. So
the reason
are people overpaying for Allen?
I think you're paying for the consistency. Uh-huh. There's boom or bust players. He's one of these guys that has been consistently good.
So you want, once you get Keenan Allen, you're now wanting to pair him up with someone that you're not going to get both Allen and Williams, but you want to pair him up with someone more like Mike Williams than, say, an Adam Thielen or something like
correct.
That.
Correct. You know, yes.
So this Justin brings up a very good point with Gerald Everett. And we just learned today that, unfortunately, the big target at tight end, Parham, with the Chargers, is banged up a little bit and banged up early. You know, it's a short preseason nowadays, guys. I think being hurt in camp means a little more than it previously did, because there's not a whole hell of a lot of time that guys are getting anyway. Mm-hmm. And now you begin to lose camp time. Everett, Justin points out the best that he ever had in his career, the 47 was quiet. I expected a bigger year last year. I think the people that felt like I did maybe are a little gun shy on Everett. Fetch, do you think Everett is a bargain at his double digit? It's mid double digits, right? 14, 15 draft spot.
It is. I mean, the tight ends get very flat, a lot of fluidity there after the 13th round there with the tight end. But I think you're getting value there. New tight end, he's had a new tight end each year, Hunter Henry. Then Jared Cook last year, and now he's got Everett. He knows how to use that, loves that big target in the red zone. So I think, yeah, he can have a good year there.
Guys like Everett and another receiver on this roster, Josh Palmer, are perfect later picks for a couple of reasons. They're in a good offense with a great quarterback.
Yep.
They are talented. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing really holding them back is the opportunities they're going to get. But when they're on the field, we know they're going to do. When Mike Williams was missing in action towards the end of last season, mm-hmm. it was Palmer who stepped up and had big games.
The University of Tennessee product has always shown a lot of promise.
The only time Keenan Allen hasn't produced is when he has been injured.
Yeah.
Guys
he's
like
playing through injury.
Guys like Everett and Palmer can step up and fill holes in your lineup later in the season and put up starter points. And if you take a Kyle Pitts early at tight end, where you're going to start him every week,
right.
it makes perfect sense to draft a guy like Everett a little later who could become a star.
That's a really good
with more
point.
Opportunity.
It's a really good point because you see guys taking flyers on tight ends late on teams that historically don't throw the tight end very much, on guys that have had injury issues, on guys that don't have a quarterback like Justin Herbert. I like that. Let's talk a little bit about what's important in the KFFSC, and I want to talk about all these teams within the AFC West before we get to Denver. I like some of these defenses. I like the Raiders defense for the pass rush that they can get on opposing quarterbacks, but I don't like any of them lining up against these offenses that when we start taking points away from you, when you give up 23, it could get expensive and it could get expensive fast. Specialist, talk with you. Is there a defense besides Denver in the AFC West that you could feel comfortable with working with?
I've picked the Chargers late. I'd like to pair them with another defense that I'm a little more conservative with. But I think with the likes of Bosa, with the likes of Derwin James, they have some playmakers, and especially against their non-AFC West opponents, you could have some big games. It's only, you got to remember, it's only five of our 16 games are against these AFC mm-hmm. West opponents, because mm-hmm. one of them's week 18 now, where we don't play, and right. you only got three division opponents, so that's five games left. That's 11 other games, excuse me, that you may have an opportunity against offenses that are not as good.
Well, the defense I like, really no matter who they're playing, is in Denver. And I don't know when we've ever had an AFC West conversation where the Denver Broncos are the most intriguing team. But this year, I think they are. They've got loads of talent at wide receiver, minus Tim Patrick, down for the season with the injury. We got an emerging tight end and Uncle Albert and a rookie tight end that I really like as a pass catcher, Dulcich. The wide receivers there is where we'll start, Fetch. I'll start with you. It's Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. I see a separation in the two players. I think Sutton is a much better player. I think Jeudy flashes. The Sutton on the field is the guy that I think reminds me most of what a Stephon Diggs would do for Buffalo. I'm not comparing him to Diggs, but I'm saying that that's the kind of thing he is for this team. And there's no commentary that Stephon Diggs is not the true one. I think Courtland Sutton is the true one for this team. Your thoughts on Sutton?
You know, it's been a very interesting kind of way these two receivers have kind of switched spots as Russell Wilson has came in. I think early, a lot of times it was very close, or Jerry Jeudy was going before Courtland back in the Super Bowl drafts. Slowly, Courtland Sutton is moving into the third round, and some, and like the one I just did, he's in the middle of third round, went ahead of Mike Williams. So I think your observation is correct. I do think he has a bigger body. I think he's a better red zone target than Jerry Jeudy. And just talking about the Denver Broncos in general, because they have so much talent. They have drafted and brought in so many players over the years. Anytime they have a good quarterback, they're a Super Bowl contender. Mm-hmm. Whether it be Peyton, John Elway, it's the time in between when they struggle finding that quarterback. And I think they have a Super Bowl caliber quarterback now with Russell Wilson.
The general manager agrees with you, and that's why he went to get Russell Wilson. Let's go to Justin, who is right out in front of the running back situation as we're playing fantasy football in the NFL and in the KFFSC. Justin Williams, Javonte Williams has been a middle of the second round in the FFPC. Have you experienced that in Kentucky? Are you comfortable taking him? I've done all these podcasts with Balky and Dave Tripoli, and there are people that are not as excited about Williams like I am.
Yeah, look, that's where he's going, middle of the second, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What percentage of the work between him and Melvin Gordon do you think he needs to have?
Mm-hmm. 60.
Okay, so you think a 60-40 split would make Javonte Williams...
It's 450 carries plus he'll catch the ball.
Okay. Now we think about where Melvin Gordon's going.
Yeah.
Which is much later.
Much later.
Now, you think then, if it was a 50-50 split,
mm-hmm.
then Javonte Williams is going to outperform Melvin Gordon by a great deal. Because that's what the ADP says.
Yeah, and I don't think that. I'm a big believer in both running backs. Mm-hmm.
That gives me pause mm-hmm. to take Javonte Williams in the middle of the mm-hmm. second. And maybe I'm misreading because there's some bias here where I think, well, if I can get Melvin Gordon for so much cheaper,
yeah.
that it somehow diminishes Javonte Williams, which mm-hmm. is not true.
I think it's an absolutely other situation. It makes yeah. it easier to pick.
But when there are other players out there like where Saquon Barkley's going right now, it's just insane.
Okay, so but let me ask you this. So if you're sitting there with Williams and Aaron Jones, which one do you pick? Middle of the second.
Right now I'm leaning towards Aaron Jones, and it's because what we haven't talked about the division, but there are so many receptions that departed.
Okay. Swift falls, mm-hmm. and he's right there next to Williams. Who do you take?
No, I'm taking Swift. I like their line better. Very, he catches more balls.
Very good. You're sitting there, and you went running back in the first round. You're sitting there and looking at Deebo Samuel and trying to say, do I go with two running backs or do I take Deebo Samuel?
I think I take Deebo Samuel there. Now, if you ask me, do I take Javonte Williams or Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, that's right. Even a better question.
Now I think I'd probably lean towards Javonte Williams. Uh-huh. So that's who I'm going to go
so
with.
So he's middle of the second round, and that's as high as he's going to get with you. Mm-hmm. Fetch, what are you thinking about Williams?
And not for the talent, yeah. but for that 60-40 times.
Gotcha.
Very interesting. I drafted in the Super Bowl leagues, and I was very high on Williams because yeah. at that time we did not know if Gordon would
be People said Gordon would be gone.
Yeah. Right. And
they were all wrong. So, you know, I didn't say.
So I was taking late first, early second there. I agree very much with Justin. I almost won't touch into early third now. Mm-hmm. I think there's just too much other stuff you can get late in the second round to pair with especially one of those, if you go wide receiver. You want to go first three picks wide receiver. So Javonte is not in my mix.
Fetch is going to be sitting down there at the end of the second, end of the first round, the 11th team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe the 10th team. And Eckler falls to him. And he takes Eckler.
Right.
And then Javonte Williams falls to him. And he takes Williams. No, wait a minute. He's going to take somebody else between. Who's going to fall to you?
Travis Kelce, I'm hoping.
Yeah, Travis Kelce's going to fall to you, and then you're going to take Kelce. And then you're sitting there with third round reversal, and all of a sudden you've got Javonte Williams. See, that's how he becomes a champion.
Mm-hmm.
He's laying it out for everybody tonight to understand.
Yeah, just let these players draft me. Everybody out there, listen to Farrell. Let these guys fall to me.
Hey, let me ask you this, guys. I love Tim Patrick as a player. I think he is more like Judy and more like Sutton than he is like Hamlin. I think Hamler is the true slot receiver on this team. They have another player, a rookie, that they drafted in the fifth round out of Sanford named Montrell Washington. They've given him the punt return job, and he might get some wide receiver work. But I really like Hamler, and I think this is the value pick for the Denver Broncos team. And I see people say, if Hamler's going to do well, he does it at the expense of who? He does it at the expense of no one because I see 130 to 40 more passes from Russell Wilson in this offense this year. Fetch, are you high on Hamler as well?
With the Tim Patrick injury, yes. And everybody is now jumping on KJ Hamler. And they will hurt one guy, and that his name's Albert, and I won't even try to pronounce it.
Albert, Uncle Albert.
Yes, Uncle Albert.
Okay. Well, your thoughts. I've never seen a player that seems to be happier with his new landing spot and his new home and is enjoying a honeymoon period that may last two or three seasons as Russell Wilson. Where does Russell Wilson fit into this line of quarterbacks? He goes before Carr, naturally going after Mahomes and Herbert. Is Russell Wilson the kind of quarterback that you would feel comfortable starting regularly and a player that you could get in the later rounds as a quarterback take your team to the top?
Well, he's not really going later rounds. He's going right up on the middle. But
he's going nuts, yeah. Right?
You can aim for him, and if you miss, then there's going to be guys like Brady.
Yeah.
Trey Lance is going behind him right now. I don't know if that'll be the case as we get deeper into August. That's the trick about waiting on a quarterback, because you got your eyes set on a later round guy. And then all of a sudden, somebody, usually some idiot who's taking his second or third quarterbacks, takes him, and you're going like, what?
He's gonna
take him? What are you gonna do with him? So yeah, he's one of those guys. He's got all the weapons. He can run a bit when needed, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he's a great value where he's at right now. And if you don't get him, you can say, well, I'll take the next guy on the list and feel pretty good about it too. But you're always going to feel like, hey, if there's a Monday night game and I'm down 20 points, I got Russell Wilson. I'm always in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, guys, I haven't made a lot of trips this summer, but I'm making one Saturday. I'm heading to Denver to see the Broncos and Cowboys, and I'm looking forward to getting a little time to spend with some of the players. And I'll come back with you to report on the Denver Broncos, but it certainly looks like morale is high in Denver because of what they're looking forward to.
Do all four teams think they're going to win this division?
Yes, all four teams think they're going to win the division. You know, in the CFL, you would have a crossover. They could all go to the. That doesn't work that way. You know,
yeah. I guess there is a chance now they all four could go to the playoffs, though.
Yeah, well,
I'd be very possible. Very big long shot.
It's possible. Okay, I think we've exhausted the AFC West team. So, Fetch, I want to throw you up a pop-up question. We'll start with you. Anything else that you want to talk about from this week's news, from what you've signed up for in the KFFSC, from what you're looking forward to doing? You'll be drafting in Cincinnati. You'll be in Louisville all 3 days. We're adding players consistently. You've done a good job bringing in old Double D to draft, a good local friend of yours. Appreciate that. Just anything you want to reflect on as we move to only now 19 days away from the main event in Louisville.
Don't let the injury reports freak you out. I mean, there's rumors out there about, well, not rumors. I mean, his coach is talking about the elbow with Matthew Stafford. Yeah. Mike Evans kind of tweaked a hamstring. He's off the field. Go with your guys. I got a great deal on Chris Godwin in the seventh round in the first opening camp.
That is good.
And now they're talking about he may be back fairly early in the season.
So you're not liking the early reports. I think most of us who are living with fantasy football and living with football, we understand that this is writers trying to make a living and trying to keep something moving, trying to keep something happening.
We see less and less of these players in the preseason.
Yeah. You know?
So I think those reports scare us even more because we don't
live in fear, Fetch. Don't get scared over there. You're telling everybody else not to be scared either. Anything about players, any one single player you want to talk about outside of the AFC West that is in the news this week that's meaningful to you?
The Kareem Hunt thing makes De'Ernest Jackson very interesting.
Well, De'Ernest Johnson is the main.
De'Ernest.
Okay, so what do you think you would do with De'Ernest?
I think you got to take a shot. He showed last year that when he gets his opportunity, he can produce good numbers. Now, again, that's a great offensive team, great offensive line. We assume Deshaun will play at some point this year. I don't know if that's a good assumption or not. But with that team, Kareem Hunt, demanding this trade, we don't know what's going to happen. I think De'Ernest could be good at some point.
Barrett's showing me that he has De'Ernest Johnson in his contact.
Yeah, let's go ahead and give him a call. Justin, let's don't reform the question you heard me ask, Fetch. Mm-hmm. What's some things that are on your mind?
Well, I mentioned a little bit earlier about taking guys like Everett and Palmer.
Yes.
This is the perfect time of year to do it. These early drafts. Mm. Look, there's always going to be some injuries in the preseason. Fetch is worried about injuries. Other people see injuries as an excuse to not draft. I see it as opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take these guys that are already talented, that are already in prolific offenses, and I'm going to take them late and get value. And they are value if no injuries happen. But if an injury does happen to someone above them on the depth chart, they are going to shoot off like a rocket.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's good strategy. Justin McCord, Fetch, who works in the medical industry, believes in the power of the training room, getting players healthy and returning them to play. Gentlemen, I appreciate your early participation in what still is what I think we can call a new format to us. We're three drafts in, the six-hour slow drafts, KFFSC slow draft main event. Have you enjoyed those, Fetch?
Oh, I've really enjoyed
Fetch. I think Fetch likes them more than you, Justin.
No, I love those. I love getting the notifications that, hey, I'm on the clock, or hey, somebody's made a pick.
Uh-huh.
It's always in the back of my mind. I'm always thinking about it.
That's cool. That's cool. I appreciate that. It's another way to be involved. We keep looking for ways to be involved, and you guys certainly are having a banner year with your participation, and I appreciate it so much. Appreciate you guys who have to rise early tomorrow and go about your work day, getting out and talking a little bit about it. We've got 19 days. We'll try to get more podcasts in before we head to Caesars Southern Indiana, before we head to the Hard Rock in Cincinnati. Precious spots available, not limited. Jesse and I are working consistently with the schedule. We've expanded into Sunday night at the Caesars Southern Indiana. You can draft as late, beginning as 8 o'clock on Sunday night. More options for you this year. We got some good surprises for you at the draft this year, and I appreciate you guys very much. We will get together real soon to get another podcast out. Fetch, what division you want to do next?
We got to do the NFC East next.
Fetch wants to do the NFC East. We get to talk about the only player that I'm the only fantasy player in the country that will still draft. Ezekiel Elliott. Until then, we'll see you.
Shout out.